But some years ago, I got a telephone call. Will you come and knock a chimney down for us? A chimney? I said, aye, where is it? He said, it's alongside the A5 down in Shropshire, near Wellington it is. He said, but you'd better come in the morning. This was on the Friday night. You'd better come tomorrow morning because we're going to have a bit of a site meeting. Because the board and of directors and the chairman are looking a bit pensive. You see? Because it's got a drop between two buildings. So I went on the Saturday morning, and when I got there, the director of this firm that was going to shovel the bricks up with the bulldozers and whatnot, he was standing there, hey, I'm glad to see you, Billy. So I said, that's it up there, Ted. With a bit of a twitch on. Because I could see this merry little shower standing close by. That was the chairman of the board of directors, the works manager and the works engineer. And when somebody comes to knock down a 235-foot chimney stack with a bit of a twitch on his head, they start to look even more pensive. Like, where did they find this one? Who turned the bloody stone over and let it out? So Mr. Ted, at this juncture, has a word in me little pointed ear. Like, stop acting the bloody goat. Nobody'll get the bloody job. Oh, while we were having these little whisperings and altercations, somebody had nudged the works engineer. He was going to act as spokesman. I think he was the next on the redundancy list. So, he steps up, and here is an 85,000 quid canteen on the one side, and then there's a space of about 15 yards or so, and there's a 9,000 quid ambulance depot, and the chimney stack is just at the back, 235 foot high, with a nice big ornamental top on. And the factory's at the back of that, so it's got to drop between these two buildings, you see. And he was looking bloody pensive and all. And they asked the same tired old question. Are you sure it'll go between... And you have the same silly bloody set answer. If it doesn't, Mester, I'm for the Argentine. Where are you going? By this time, the chairman of the board was getting fed up. So he spoke up. Now, come, Mr. Bates. When do you propose to do it? I said, well, I think I should come up next Saturday morning and drill the holes in it. Because it's 6 foot thick. The brickwork at the bottom is a hell of a big stack. And then I'll sneak up on Sunday about 2 o'clock, put the explosives in, give it a smarter thrutch, and down with it. He said, but why 2 o'clock on Sunday? I said, well, two reasons, really. It's a small village. We don't want a lot of people here. Half of them have had to stuff the Rodgers and got the paper over the heads half asleep. And the other half will be upstairs with the Vaseline on the bedroom door and stop the kids getting in. He said, a bloody good idea. I thought, you filthy old swine. Anyway, this is what we did. Saturday morning, I went up there, drilled the holes in it. Saturday night, I'm in the crew arms having a drink, minding my own business, and a nice young fellow walked in, somewhat like myself. And he said, are you doing anything interesting tomorrow? I said, I've got a bloody big chimney stack to knock down. Why? Take action pictures. All action stuff, he says. Don't mess with the rubbish. All action, nothing on the bearskin rug. All action. Says, can I come with you? I've never had a chimney stack going down. I said, certainly you can, son. I said, I'll call for you in the morning. And I got to bring a bloke from English Electric. He wanted to come, Bring his new number two box brownie. Take a snap, you know. Anyway, so I said, I'm going to pick him up. So on the Sunday morning, I call for this one. And he came out, got his best suit on. Long, black, airy overcoat. Bright yellow tie and black receding hair. Looked like a bloody undertaker. Walks out the house, camera slung round him, boxes of film, jars of Ippo, all the rubbish. Get in the back of me car, he does. I said, do come and sit in the front, it's not a bloody taxi. Oh, came and sat in front, left all his rubbish on the back seat, took off, and when we got there, the kids were all over the place. They were coming over the walls, through the windows, the bobbies were beating them off with clubs. I thought it was going to be a bit of a quiet thrudge. Gets in the yard, first one I've seen is Mr. Ted. I said, Ted, what's the carry-on? Oh, I'm very sorry, Billy. I told our Arthur, he told our Tom, he told our Jack, he told two of our drivers. And it's in everybody's turn out, there's nothing can do about it. So we were out just discussing this, and a big black limousine drew up in the yard. And a smart, young, executive type got out, and he come marching up the yard, followed by a bit of Group One. Anyway, he walks up to me, got a strap over his shoulder and a box, and wires from up his rectum and down his nose. And I think, oh, poor bugger, when did they change his battery, you see? Because you read about these things. And he said, Mr. Bates? I said, yes, what's your trouble, mother-in-law, or constipation? He said, BBC. Well, it sounded like a bloody disease the way he said it, you know. I said, what do you want, a recording of a bang? You know, they were thinking around the twist. He said, no, he said, we'd like to say a few words. A few words. I said, see that canteen there? I said, that cost this firm 85,000 quid. I said, if that bloody big chimney stack drops across it, I'll say a few words, lad. But I'll just bet a pound to a pinch of Chinese excrement that you don't record them. Oh. I said, and all those little holes you can see I've drilled around the bottom of there, I've got to put little bits of explosion, little bits of muck in there, and link them up with bits of wire. I said, I'm rather busy at the moment. Oh, I understand, he said. So he went back and got in the back of this here limousine with his egg butty and this popsy. So, I'm going around the bottom of the chimney, putting me bits of explosion, little bits of muck, and a voice is saying, what's going on here then? Who's supposed to be doing this? And as you work round, this voice got closer, so it was coming to a, like a bit of a bellic down me wattle, you see. And this voice, who are you supposed to be? I said, who the bloody hell are you supposed to be? Daily Mirror, he says. Daily Mirror. Well, this other bloke had taken was very Tory. He said, that's a good paper to wipe your bottom on. He went away to tell Cassandra we were rude to him. So it suddenly occurred to me, we've got rid of the Nationals, and that left the all-action boy that we'd taken there. I thought, well, if he gets one of his action pictures, they're bound to write something about it, you know. I said, come here, young man. I said, you could go out in a blaze of glory today. And he kind of looked at me out of the corners of his eye. I don't think I phrased it right, you know. He said, like, why? I said, well, there's the chimney. I said, are you going to be the first man in Great Britain to take pictures of a chimney stack collapsing towards him? And the eyes went up like chapel hat pegs all the way to the top. And the next thing he said, he says, how heavy is it? I said, from 235 feet, lad, it doesn't bloody matter. It only wants one and you're up to your knees. Well, where shall I get? I said, you go and get round the far corner of the little ambulance depot and it will pass about 17 feet to your left shoulder. He said, well, why is it closer to that building? I said, that's for the benefit of my insurance broker, you bloody idiot. He said, always drop it nearer the cheaper building, you see. It makes him feel safer. So he shuffled off, and we seen this face figure. I said, keep your bloody nut in. We got all this explosive in, like, and we get the others out of the way, and the bobbies chase the kids off. And just then, a big green van came down, BBC TV. Frightfully sorry we're late, Mr. Bates. I said, I didn't know you were coming. Doesn't make the day, you know. They go all peevish. Oh, where should we get then? I said, you get round the other side. You've got expensive equipment. And they're looking at this poor bugger round the back and think we're going to write him off for fun, you know. Bloody shower of idiots. Anyhow, got all this in, set it up, whoom, you see. Well, it's a fair bloody thrutch when it goes, and the bricks don't come out whole. They come out like packet tomato soup. About a ton and a half of the big fan behind it. And then it's on its way. Nobody's been known to push one back, you know. It does not disappear up its own orifice either. Like the proverbial Wonga bird. It disappears into its own dust cloud. And boom. And we saw the end of it going in this cloud of red dust. And that's the last we saw. We had to wait for this dust to seek to one side. There wasn't much wind that day. And it slowly drifted to one side. We went up to it, and the bloke behind me, this works manager, said, where's that gone? So there's a pile of bricks about 6 foot high along the floor. I think they expect to see a bloody big round thing lying on the ground, you know. They forget there's a hole up the middle to let the bloody smoke out. Anyway, you get this pile of bricks. And then this figure emerged from around the back of the ambulance depot. When he went away, he looked like an undertaker. When he come back, he looked like Geronimo. He got all the rest. And somebody said he's walking funny. Looked like a bloody good advert for talcum powder. Somebody said, oh, he's gone over on a loose brick, twisted his ankle, gone over on a loose brick. Then the kids are all running back going, hooray, hooray! Did he get a picture, mister? Picture be buggered, I've had a bowel movement. Somebody didn't like to say it yet, he was telling some ladies about, you know. My God, he denied himself this morning, you know. And that's what we got. 42 mile there, 42 mile back. Shit himself and left his lens cap off.